There's more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 85 of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. We all spend a lot of time avoiding mistakes and making sure nothing goes wrong. We are careful with the decisions we make because we believe that wrong decisions can create unwanted conditions. This week, Alette asks Joshua how to avoid making mistakes at work. She is a translator for a law firm, and it is important that she doesn't make any mistakes because there would be legal ramifications. We will talk about mistakes and what Joshua has to say about the subject. If you've been paying any attention to these podcasts, you probably already know what they're going to say. On the roundtable today, we have Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary.
And Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Gary.
And Isabel Zimmerman. Hi, Isabel.
Hi, Gary.
Did you guys see I made very few mistakes in that?
That was really good. Although, I think you were almost about to laugh.
I was going to stop in the middle saying, look, I'm trying not to make a mistake.
I don't think I've ever heard a mistake before. Have you made a mistake before? They've all been perfect, I thought.
Yeah, well, then how can we keep having to redo them every week? Take one, take two, take three, take 94.
I don't know.
That's your decision. Yeah, I mean, I don't care if you make a mistake.
Because I fuck them up, usually. No. You know, it really is funny. Okay, so I do this workout thing, and it's this trail that you go on. So it's about a mile and a half away. You do this trail that's about a mile, and there's this exercise equipment on each stage of it, and then you walk home. And one of these things is just a little balance beam a foot off the ground, and I just practice going back and forth on that thing, trying not to fall off. And so I just recently noticed that it's so easy to do if I just relax and don't care if I fall off. You know, but when I'm like, oh, I got to be in line, I got to put my foot in front of the other one, I'm always off balance. I say, oh, I'm not a good balancer. And then the other day I just said, hey, just relax. And I relaxed and it was super easy. So that's like this thing. If I just relax reading that thing and don't care if I make a mistake, then like I really wanted to make a mistake so I could say mistakes don't matter, but I didn't make any mistakes. Because I usually make mistakes.
Mistakes matter. Oh, no, wait. Mistakes don't matter. Okay.
Mistakes don't matter. Yeah, you can. So we don't want to fast forward to what the story of the show is all about. But there is a spoiler alert in here somewhere.
Just sit tight, people. Sit tight. We'll get to it.
We'll get to it. So has anyone made any mistakes lately?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, if there were such a thing as a mistake, then yes, I've made plenty.
Okay, well, I made a mistake last night. I'm playing poker. There's 30 people left or so. I get pocket aces, which is the best starting hand to have before the flop, you know, before things happen. Everyone gets two cards. I get two aces, which means my two cards are better than everyone else's two cards at this point. You don't know what's going to happen next, but at this point. And so it's late stages of a tournament, and I'm in early position, which means that I'm one of the first people to bet. Then it goes around, you know, and then usually some small stack is going to go all in or someone's going to raise because there's antes and blinds out there and it's worthwhile. Well, this guy before me with a short stack of hardly anything goes all in and I just call and then fold, 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 and then the two blinds call, which is the worst possible thing that could happen because I wanted someone to raise so that I could re-raise all in and get up with one person. Well, now we have four people in there. The flop is 8-7-6. And guy makes a small bet. I go all in over the top, and he quickly calls me. He's got two pair. He just happens to flop two pair. So that was my mistake. And I was like shocked when I turned over aces because I didn't raise pre-flop. So So that was my mistake, and it got me kicked out of the tournament. So that was an unwanted ramification. So yes, you can make mistakes. I'm here to tell you. What? Why are you laughing? Does that go against everything that we've been told all this time?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I've just proven it right there.
Socks off. I'm getting all hot here. You gotta take my socks off. Okay.
This is proof that you can make mistakes. That things can go wrong. There's proof right here. There's no wrong anywhere in the universe except for this one instance where I lost a poker tournament. Rocky is agreeing with us over there.
I love Rocky. Hi, Rocky.
Anyway, so, okay, so how do you say that that wasn't wrong? Well, I do that a lot, and usually it works, and then the rare occasion it doesn't work, you know, but what? Okay, so now I get to go home at 10 o'clock and see Lily. Is that a good thing?
Not all that bad, yeah.
Yeah, not all that bad, right? Got to get a really good night's sleep so I can be alert, because if I had kept going, we would have gone till 1 or 2 in the morning, like last week, which was actually really fun. So what am I saying?
I like your perspective you've had before where you say that somebody else needed
somebody else needed to win for a change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nobody would be playing if I won every single tournament like
yes,
I normally
and
do.
You don't know what their predicament or what their deal is. So
yeah. Yeah.
You could just say you're welcome.
That's what I should say. You're welcome. Yeah. Yeah. All right. That is a good perspective, I guess. And really, you know, winning that tournament doesn't make any difference.
No.
What am I going to do? Say I'm a good poker player because I won it twice in a row? I'm going to say I'm just as good as I was before.
You're a better ballerina.
I'm a really good ballerina. For those of you who don't know, if you get upset because someone thinks you're not good at something, well, you're not defined by whatever that is. And it would be like someone saying that you're a bad ballerina. Because you wouldn't care, because you're not a ballerina. So you're not defined by anything, no matter what you think. Like Kyla, you're a terrible mother.
I have my moment.
Ooh, that one hit home. No, just kidding. Wendy, do you still like being a grandmother?
I do. Great challenging week for me. I think I'm like coming down this week. Kind of like pushed through a lot of fears. And, you know, there's always like, residual, like catch up. I feel like there's catch up. My body has to catch up.
Yeah.
When I get through that. So
we had our AC went out, it was like a little simple thing. And then we, instead of calling an AC guy, we called our handyman and he screwed the whole thing up.
Oh no.
And this was Sunday before, you know, and so Monday, you know, Sunday night we went to stay at Robin D's house. You may have seen that on Facebook, which is, you know, this beautiful house on the water. And their daughter's gone to college now, so they're alone. So theoretically, they like having us there because otherwise they'd be lonely. And so then Monday, I call my AC guy, and he says he came over and took a look at it but couldn't fix it. And so he says he's going to have to get parts, and then Tuesday was July 4th, and then Wednesday he couldn't come again, so I had to call someone else, and that guy came over and fixed the whole thing. It was great. So we had no idea where we were going to be, but we were at Robin D's house for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning. And in that time, on July 4th, Lily got rear-ended coming back from the store. So she had to go to the hospital. Nothing was wrong, but they just wanted to check her out. So we're in the hospital, and, you know, this whole thing, and then Robin D had to cancel their plans because they didn't want to leave Lily alone. So they had plans to watch the fireworks. And we ended up watching the fireworks from Rob's house in the backyard. It was great. But anyway, so here you are out of sorts. You can't get in your house. I have my laptop. I could do some Joshua stuff, but you really get this, like, what's going on, you know?
Yes.
Why is everything changing? Why did this little thing turn into this big problem? But then really it wasn't a big problem because we had so much fun with Rob and Dee. We cooked great dinners. You know, I worked at Rob's office the other day. It was fine. So it was great. But it was out of sorts. You know, you get back home.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it's easy to stay in alignment when you're you're familiar with everything. It's when you start shaking up your apple cart that. But well, that's to me, that's how I grow. If I just sit here in my house all day and just, you know, think good thoughts and project love, well, that's easy. When I get out and start mixing it up is when I can grow and grow. So I mixed the shit up out of it last week.
So how long would it be if we stayed at Robin D's house before we tested the boundaries of our friendship?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Okay. So if our AC, I think it would have been much shorter than that, but if our AC was out for 3 weeks, like I wasn't really super in a rush to get things done, but Rob was like, so did you call your guy? Did you call your guy? Did you call your guy? And so that guy wasn't working on it. And so I called my guy. And then once it was fixed, I texted Rob and said that it's shot. What do you want for dinner? You know, because I've been cooking. And he said, yeah, great, get something healthy. Like, he didn't care at all, right? So he was just, you know, that typical thing where you want to take control of the conditions.
Right.
Which I did, and it worked out. But it was nice to see that he was happy to have us there longer. But I was wondering, like, how long does this go? Do we look for an apartment to rent after a few days? Do we go and stay with, like, Lily's sister in their small condo? Do we pop around from friend to friend testing their friendship for how long ever we can do it? You know, what happens if, you know, like I kept saying to Rob, I hope a meteor hits your house so you guys can stay with us. But so what is friendship then? You know, how long can you deal with this? And what does that mean? And like, is it a week? Does that, is that friendship? Like, if it was your children, it would be forever, right? They could stay with you for as long as they wanted, right?
Right.
But if it's your...
But this is like this huge opportunity, because you could, if everybody was looking at it as an opportunity of, it's supposed to be happening and it's happening for us. What do we get out of this? Yeah. How can we grow from this versus, oh my God, when are they leaving? I mean, if we take the Joshua perspective on all that, then anything can be an opportunity for growth.
So my perspective was during this time was to battle with these feelings of imposing on people and allowing them to be great hosts, which is what they were, you know?
You being appreciative instead of being appreciated.
Right. So I was appreciating them and being there and being comfortable with my feelings of imposing or, you know, being a problem.
And that's going to come back to you. You know, you were appreciative, so now you will be appreciated.
Maybe.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe.
But see, we all have our little issue, our core things that being constantly.
But I think those are society rules.
No, there are no rules.
But I think you're right. My inability to be comfortable imposing on someone is only based on this society thing. And there, I mean, we were really having a good time. There was no, we weren't bothering anyone. We weren't getting in each other's way at all. They're, you know, they got a big house. It's like, we're helping doing the dishes. We're buying the food. We're bringing stuff. You know, so really.
That I was going to say, living how people have lived for centuries. You know what I mean?
I mean, really.
In community, like communal living type situations.
Except for the fact that this is their house and we're guests and we could outstay our welcome. Why not live there forever? You know?
I have this conversations a lot with my friends, and I always say, in America, we are taught independence. We are taught for our children to have their own room, their own bed, and yet in your own dog. But in Europe, you co-share family beds. You co-share apartments. You have generations that live under one roof, right? And they don't get their own separate house. And then I look at like different cultures and I'm like, oh my gosh, they vacation all the time. And they're always going somewhere and they don't have their own car and they share a car. And I don't know, it just gives me a different perspective. And so I think, did your mother ever tell you, Gary, don't impose yourself on someone? Was that taught to you? Was that said to you? Because I know it was said to me. You know, I know, like, don't overstay your welcome. Don't invite yourself somewhere. Be careful. You know, you're not going to be liked. You're not going to be loved. They're, you know, you're in their territory. That's their castle. That's their home.
Yeah.
So I think about like everything that has been taught to me and now doing this Joshua thing. I like to like dive into it and see underneath and see around and say, and is this real?
Yeah. Test the boundaries of our preconceived notions.
Right. Right. And this was an easy first step for you. This was very
super easy. Yeah. You know, it's funny too, why we care about that so much, about other people's feelings and what they think and stuff like that. You know, because loss we don't of know. Love.
It's all loss of love.
Yeah, they don't. We don't know what they think. Acceptance. We're just making it up. No one's. They didn't come out and say, you know, you guys got to get out of here or.
Right.
You got to pay for groceries or whatever.
Right. You know, well. I mean, that's the biggest point right there is that we don't know what everybody's thinking. We can't know what they're thinking. Even if they verbalize it, their verbalization of it may not, it's all through their filters. Then it all has to come through our filters. Right. And so really we don't know. So make it up.
Yeah. All right. So let's go to the quote of the week. Kyla, do you have that? How about Isabel? You want to do the quote? Did you make this quote, Isabel?
I did.
It was really good. It's really beautiful. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Kyla did the photo.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So
Joshua says, okay, Joshua says, physical reality is your playground.
We should post that right now on Facebook. Yeah. Well, we'll post it. No one's going to hear this for a couple weeks. But so that's the idea, is that this, if you get this fundamental idea that physical reality is just a playground, it's just like going to Disney World. It's exactly the same thing. You bought your ticket, you're here. Now you can go and see anything you want to see, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the thing is that in Disney World, there are rules.
Oh.
But are there rules here? I don't think there's rules here.
Yeah. You know,
there might be society rules, but I think that you can't really be limited. You can do whatever you want to do. We have a one-on-one person, Radun, who lives in Norway. And her question today was about whatever. But Joshua's was like, oh, was it about finding a fun thing to do? You know, doing something just for the fun of it. And so Joshua said that you're perfect as you are. You can't get any better than you are, right? You can't improve. She was like, my whole life I've been on this kick of self-improvement, right? And Joshua says, you can't improve. So do you guys think you can improve? You cannot improve. You're perfect, so how can you improve on perfection, right? Mm. All you can do is look at yourself differently in a way from a higher perspective, you know? So they said that if you didn't think you were worthy, you would not sleep on the bed. You'd sleep on the floor, right? You would think you're unworthy of sleeping on that bed. If you didn't think you're worthy, you wouldn't have a family, you wouldn't have a house, you wouldn't have possessions, and you certainly wouldn't have a job, right? You could never get a job if you thought you were unworthy. Because you couldn't even apply for a job. You would think, well, what would the purpose of that be? No one's going to hire me. I'm not worthy of a job, right? So, but now, if you thought you were super worthy, okay, if you thought you were unworthy, you wouldn't have anything fun to do. You couldn't find anything fun to do if you felt you were unworthy. But if you felt you were super worthy, then everything you did would be fun.
Hmm.
So everything in life is just basically about understanding who you are from this higher perspective and realizing that you're perfect, that you don't need to improve, that you can't get any better. And now, with this information, that this is your universe, you're the center of that universe, that you can go and do whatever you want to do because you're worthy of anything. So if you're worthy of anything, you're worthy of saying anything, of writing anything on Facebook, of posting anything, of making poetry, of doing whatever you think you want to do, you know, artwork. People are talking about this, all kinds of creative things that they're stopping themselves from doing. Helping others through channeling. Wendy Pierce.
Could you just like get me over the head with the baseball bat?
So everything that Joshua does is help people raise their perspective on themselves and their lives and the world. So people can see things from the higher perspective and see how worthy you are. And once you get that you're worthy, then your reality starts to change to represent how you feel about yourself. Because if you feel worthy, then your reality has to reflect a worthy person. And if you feel unworthy, then your reality has to reflect an unworthy person. So wherever you are in your life, it's not the accomplishments that you've done or the education you've had or what you look like. It's how you feel about yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you have a job, it means you think you're worthy of a job. If you have money in the bank, it's because you think you're worthy of money in the bank. If you have friends, it's only because you think you're worthy of friends. Whatever it is, yeah. So whatever you don't have. So then Kyla came in the room and I said, oh, never mind. Kyla just joined us. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Dad.
We were talking about you the entire time.
Yeah.
Behind
your
back. All good things. All wonderful things. So we were talking about...
What else could you say?
Yeah. Only the best. We were talking about the only difference between where you are now and where you want to be is how worthy you think you are of yourself. So this one person was asking a question about their boyfriend. And they want the boyfriend to be more loving and caring and show his love more and respond to texts and stuff more. And the Joshua's answer to her was that he can only respond to you by how you feel about yourself. For instance, if you were thinner, more beautiful, had different color hair, and you still thought of yourself exactly the same way as you do now, he would respond exactly the same way. You could be 20 times more beautiful. You could be a supermodel. He wouldn't treat you any differently, right? If you still felt the same way. Or if you had a bald head and if you had no teeth, right, but still thought you were attractive, the same as you do now, he would treat you exactly the same, right? So it's not him. It's not this void that's in you. It's your opinion of yourself, right? So if you have this higher opinion, and we're all taught not to have a high opinion of ourselves.
That's right.
But if we have this super high opinion of ourselves, and even saying that, I can hear myself saying, oh, look at this person, think they're full of themselves. And we all know people like that, but yet, you know, look at anyone who's doing well. They all have this good overall idea of who they are and how they fit in the world. And I think, though, that it comes not from thinking that they're great, but from thinking that they really appreciate everything else. They appreciate others. They appreciate life. They appreciate everything. They feel good about everything. They feel worthy that they should appreciate this stuff. And they're not trying to prove that they're great in anything because they're not having that. Because that really is an insecurity thing anyway, right?
Yeah.
Is there true
I've had this conversation purpose? With Mark because he... like you said, we all do, but one of his like big things is this idea that he doesn't want to appear that way or be that he wants to become his like a fuller version of himself, but he has that fear.
But he wants to be humble, right?
Right. Yeah. Kind of, or feels like like that needs to be. But I said, when you become these things that you want to be, you know, it will look different than these ideas that you have of it now because these people are telling everybody. How awesome they are, and you'll just be those
awesome.
Fans. You know, just show it. You don't have to tell it. You can just be it. And so,
Lily goes to a homeopath who is, I guess, 85.
Oh wow!
And he was a dentist, a really prominent dentist, and he realized how unhealthy what he was doing was. So he started doing other things, and then they took his license to practice dentistry away from him because he was doing all these other kinds of things. And so he said, no big deal. And just started doing this homeopathy. And this guy just knows how great he is. And you look at him and he's like Jack LaLanne, you know, completely fit, like the most perfect specimen of a human you've ever seen in your life. Just, he's 85 years old, but really looks like he could be in his early 60s and not a bit of fat on him, skin tone is incredible, vibrant, you know, totally flexible. And this guy is just living as who he totally authentically is and just believes in every fiber of his being what he's doing.
Wow.
We all think he's a crackpot, but like you told Lily can't drive her electric car anymore. She's got to sell it because the EMFs from the electric car, you know. So, hey, who am I to say, right? Who am I
right.
to say? It's all
no,
working out.
I mean,
you know?
When I was going through all my illnesses and stuff, people that were in that little, you know, circle, they'd have, like, things changed, like their electrical panels moved. Mm. They wouldn't allow any like cell phones. It was just like, okay. But you know what, Gary? It all goes back to what you believe. Yeah. If Lily believes that, then it would work.
Change.
But
right.
Yeah, if she doesn't believe it, because it's just whatever you believe.
Yeah.
It's all in your mind.
Dr. Doug. Me and Rob are like, Dr. Doug is getting rid of all these good things. But like, we used to live in this house on the river, this beautiful house, and we had to move because, you know, like a mile away were these big radar towers, and you would see them as you come in, you know. And so Dr. Doug comes, oh yeah, those radar towers, that's the cause of all your problems.
Now, did he know the radar towers were there, or did she tell him the
radar towers were there? Came to the house to do something and saw them, you know.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Anyway, but he totally is completely his authentic self. And just matches that, you know, in everything.
Mm.
I strive to be like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be totally authentic.
All right. Huh. So, Wendy, would you like to read
for
Alette?
Sure. Come here, Alette. Dear Joshua, last Tuesday, my colleague's father passed away at the respectable age of 91. My colleague is now working from home so he can go to his mom and take time to make the funeral arrangements and consult with his brother and sisters. This means that I am the translator on duty these days. I am happy to report that I am feeling rather fearless and that things are going well. This morning, I finished one translation, and when I came back for lunch, I was asked to check an English translation against the original document in Dutch. This seems a fairly easy assignment. However, with these kinds of assignments, I always doubt whether something is really wrong or if it is good English, even though it is not worded the way I would do it. And in addition, I worry that I miss any obvious mistakes. The document is a lease and was translated by the other party, which is why our client wants us to check whether the translation is a true representation of the Dutch text. What can I do to become more confident in doing these kinds of assignments and to be sure that I don't overlook any inaccuracies, mistakes? With love, Alette.
Did you see how she said, my colleague's father passed away at the respectable age of 91?
Yeah. And did you see how I made some mistakes in there just so that you would see what it was okay?
No, I missed them. Yeah. I did. I missed all that. So what's the respectable age to die?
112.
Or any age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So here's the thing. At work, can you make mistakes? You're in a law firm. What happens if you make mistakes?
Right. Right.
Kyla, would you like to read for Alette?
For Joshua?
For Joshua, I mean. Oops, I made a mistake.
There we go. I'm keeping a tally. Don't worry. At the end, I'll let you guys all know how many mistakes you made. Yeah.
Do all wives do that, or is it just my wife
and
you?
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Dear Alette, let's imagine that it's possible to get something wrong. Now, you hear us say that there is no wrong anywhere in the universe, and therefore you could not possibly get anything wrong. But just for the sake of conversation, what if you could? What would happen if you got it wrong? It might lead to a lawsuit, or to some loss of some kind. However, loss is not possible either. There is no wrong, and nothing can be lost. The illusion of physical reality makes it appear as if things could go wrong, and that things could be lost, but they cannot. It is simply not possible. We want to express this emphatically. Nothing can be wrong, and nothing can be lost. It is always perfect. It is always right.
What if your house burns down?
Perfect and right.
Perfect, yeah. It's not cool.
Really?
Yeah.
It's perfect? All right.
It's for you.
The word.
It's for you?
The
level.
Okay.
Your job is to find out how.
Yeah, yeah. Your job is to find
out
how.
Do that over and over and it gets easier.
Well, let's just hope that we can get good at realizing what's for us for the little things. So these big things don't have to happen.
Yes, exactly.
And if they happen,
exactly.
If the big things happen, let's hope that we won't see them as big things.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was when Lily was in a car accident, I drove over there and the cops were there and the fire departments were there and the other guy, the guy that hit her was there and she got rear-ended. And, you know, I just walked calmly to her. She was out of the car. I hugged her. We just sat there and hugged for a while. And, you know, never looked at the other guy or paid any attention to him and or what the cops were doing. Just, you know, was with her. And was like, you know, how is this for her? And, you know, it's interesting because you look at a car accident like that. And then we go to the hospital and Rob comes with me and she's in this room and she's fine. And we're playing with the nurses. They come in and we're making these funny videos. And we make this video of Rob where pans over to him really slowly from the machine where the blood heart thing is and pans down. And he's like, I take chances. And goes down to his shoes and he takes out his flip flops and he rubs his feet around on the floor. You know? And then we made this. So then I had texted Lily's sister that she was in an accident and said, everything's fine. We're at the hospital now waiting for an MRI. And then I make this video of Lily, you know, it goes from the heart machine again down to her. And she has this face like she just died, right? Really funny face. And then I sent that and I said, oh, looks like she's taking a turn for the worse. So we had a good time. We had fun. It wasn't a big deal, you know, and I could see myself in that situation 20 years ago. I'd be furious at the guy. Turns out, you know, it was July 4th and he had refused a breathalyzer. So he was probably had a few beers and stuff. And, you know, but it was like Lily's car was smashed up and, but who cares? You know, she's got a new car to use while she's, you know, having her car fixed. It was like no big deal at all.
Right. Little inconvenience.
It wasn't even inconvenient. Maybe Dr. Doug did it. Yeah, Dr. Doug. Yeah, now she doesn't have an electric car.
Wow.
We that had crossed our mind. Okay, so nothing can be lost. Everything is always working out perfectly, and we just have to see how it's perfect. Let's go to the next one.
Let's imagine that you looked at the other person's translation and you've skimmed it without really digging into it. Now, would you ever do this in a million years? Of course not. That is not who you are being. You are fully focused on being good and doing a good job. This translation comes to you because you, as you are being fastidious, are a match to this piece of work. And that's why it shows up in your reality.
What the hell does fastidious mean?
Like, you know, doing a good job. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. So who she is this one who super cares about making sure the translations are right. You know, I think about that all the time. You know, when people worry about things, well, that's never going to happen to you because you care too much, you know. You're not going to have something like this happen. You're going to pay attention to these things. You know, you could never be a slacker. Mm-hmm. It's like Robin D's daughter going off to school and they're worrying about her getting grades or whatever, or getting in trouble. This is the most, you know, caring girl that there is. And she really cares about the education, really cares about her parents and really cares, you know, it would be so, you know, there's no need to worry because she's going to really take care of herself because she's that kind of person. You know?
Yeah.
All right. So for Alette to think that she's going to make a mistake, that's going to be a problem. You know, she's just overly concerned. And Joshua, this whole time, this is question 77 or something, is saying, you're never going to make a mistake. Don't worry about it. Get over it. Get more confident. All this stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Have you ever thought about how you receive certain translations and your colleague receives other translations? Do you think it's random or luck or a coincidence? It is not. You receive what is a match to who you are, and he receives what is a match to who he is being. Change who you are being, and you become a match to something different. If you become nonchalant about the translations you receive, you would receive different translations dependent on where your focus of attention was at the time.
All right. So even in these assignments, the only ones that can come to her are ones that are a match to her, right? And the only ones that can come to her colleague, who's very different than she is, are a match to him. And early on, Joshua said, never show your work to your colleague. Because he's going to see it in a completely different way based on who he is. Yeah. And because he believes he's, you know, more experienced and older and a man, that he's going to always find mistakes. You know, he's going to think it's his job to find these mistakes and he's going to find them. And it's going to make you feel more insecure because if you're doing it with the intention of letting him check it out after you're done, then in order for you to get feedback on how you're being, you have to make mistakes. or have to be something that he's going to see, right? He's never going to find one that's always that's perfect, unless that's how you feel about yourself, right?
And just the fact that she's asking him to look at it, he has to validate his existence by finding something wrong with it.
Exactly right. Yeah. And he gets a lot out of that, too. You know, he gets respected and looked up to.
It is interesting to think about how, I mean, just in the same work environment, working so closely, especially like that, how different experiences each person has, you know, and like when in bitching about the workday or like how they're seeing their workday. My old job was a perfect example of that because in like we work in the hospital, we would go into people's rooms. And when I started that job, it was right around the same time that I started Joshua. And so my people that I worked with would go and have these awesome days with these lovely people. And I was so full of fear that I would go into rooms and there would be lots of negative emotion in there and I wouldn't make any money, you know. And then by the time I quit that job, it was a completely different experience. I was like breezing into work whenever I wanted, expecting to have an awesome day and everybody was super nice and like, oh yeah, we love it. Can we get this and that? And it was just, totally based.
That's how you create your reality right there. Exactly how you do it. Yeah, by having these expectations, But it's, you know, that's another thing that's interesting is how these two people in the same office doing the same job have completely unique perceptions of whatever they're doing. And that's just true of everything. You know, in appraisal, well, not just every person's unique or their perspective, but every moment of their life is unique. So it's not just the life that's unique or the person's unique. It's every moment of that person's life is unique, you know. So if you count up all the moments in a life, in a respectable 91-year life, there's a lot of moments. And not just the person, you know. So that's like this infinite amount of unique experiences. When we were learning how to appraise houses, you realize that every house is unique. And even if it's the exact same model, well, it's a different lot, you know, it has a different orientation to the sun, it has a different, you know, age. Every condo unit, even if they're all the same exact floor plan, is different because they're different levels or different sides of the building, that sort of thing.
Right.
Okay, let's go to the next one.
I was hanging on his last word, like something really insightful.
Wow. Yeah.
And then
nothing.
Right. It's coming. It's coming. Don't worry.
The good stuff is still to come.
Yes, it's coming.
Right. We think it'll be at moment on this podcast, moment 47.25 on the time clock. So you can skip ahead to that because that's where all the good stuff's going to be.
And I just had an inspiration to just throw this out there to everybody. If you're considering the one-on-one program, sooner rather than later, it's not going to be around forever.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You guys sense that, huh?
I do, big time.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think? Like,
these are the good old days.
Yeah, these are the good old days right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to be all replaced by professional broadcasters, so we might even be on this podcast. It's going to be people who know what they're talking about will be doing this.
Kelly Ripka's going to play me.
You better get your fill of Joshua now when these good times are. It's going to be a whole big corporation at some point.
Yeah,
with quotas to meet. Yep. You're going to have to go through like lots of people to get through to any of us. We're going to
be able to talk to Gary.
Yeah, you're going to have to have your people call our people and schedule stuff. Right now, you can send an email and sometimes I return them. Yeah.
Yeah, look at Abraham, how that, you know, it's been many, many, many years, but, you know, she started out pretty small, too, so, I mean, we're not small, but just, she started out in the grassroots, and, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh. Okay.
As soon as Gary's ready to allow it, it's going to take off, like.
Yeah.
There's two people starting when we're back from the Joshua Land Cruise. Okay. And another lady that I don't really know too much about, but she just sent me an email. Yeah. And Ray Dunn is done. She's getting to question 100 probably today or tomorrow. And then that'll be her 6 months.
Wow.
And she's off on her own.
Good for her.
Wild blue yonder. Yep.
Okay. I'm never going off into the wild blue thunder, so you might as well just get used to me.
Astrid asked a question this week. It was a good one. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was about channeling and stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. Very interesting. Okay.
I don't think I can hear you.
You can't
hear me? Yeah, I just realized it.
Okay. Oh, I was talking. Okay. All right, Kyla. Let's go to the next one.
All right. For instance, let's imagine that you develop a new career teaching people how to speak English or Dutch, and you start making some money and are really enjoying it. You are a match to this career and no longer a match to the job you have now as a translator in a law office. So you begin to be torn between the two professions. You really enjoy teaching, yet you fear losing the stability of your current employment. Now, the universe knows what you really want and it will lead you there. You might go with it or you might resist it. You'll be inspired to make a transition to your new career and to leave your present job. If you push past your fears and make that transition, everything will go smoothly because you've processed your fears and taken the action you are inspired to take.
So that's pretty interesting. It could be so simple, you know.
Right.
You could be getting everything that you want. It could be coming to you, and you can either resist it or go with it if you can push past that little fear, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So imagine.
Wow, and they kind of gave her a nugget right there.
Not really. This is sort of arbitrary. It's just this idea. Right. So let's go to the next one because I think it illustrates this point better.
However, if the fear prevents you from resigning from your current job, you will be given translations and miss certain key points. This will lead to your dismissal, the thing you actually wanted in the first place. All you're doing is thinking it was wrong and that you made errors so big that it caused you to lose your job. You might feel disgraced and unworthy, yet everything happened perfectly. It's just your choice to see it as wrong when in reality it's perfectly right. Years from now, you will look back and realize that the timing was perfect, and you will be thankful you got fired. However, you'll never really understand how you made the blatant error in those translations. It will seem very strange indeed.
Mm.
So this is like sort of spooky, weird stuff going on here,
mm.
where you're getting what you're getting. You're actually making these mistakes that on purpose, so they're not mistakes, right? Because you're making these mistakes that lead to this thing that you actually wanted anyway. So you can't see that as a mistake. Because somehow you made this mistake. Well, how did you make that mistake, right? Because someone somehow interfered with the connection to, like, how is she, Joshua said this a million times. How are you translating these things anyway? You're getting a stream of consciousness that's coming through you and flowing, right? So that stream of consciousness, they can put whatever they want in there, right? And that mistake could be in there. And you're going to say, how did that even happen?
It reminds me of the mistake I made when I didn't see that it was per week for the one-on-one. I thought it was like a one-time payment.
Right.
On the website.
Had you read that, right?
Sign up.
It was totally plainly there, right? Had you read that, you would have never been here. You would not be here right now.
Right.
No way in a million years. Yeah. But it all turned out perfectly. And you not been here, this podcast would be completely different than it is. We'd still be on Live Attraction Radio Network.
Boring.
We'd be all clean.
Yeah.
Not swearing, not talking about anything controversial.
Well, gosh darn it. That's what we'd be saying.
Dadgummit.
Dadgummit fudge. Fudge.
Okay, so let's go to the final paragraph here, which springs it all home in a remarkable and amazing way.
If you are meant to make mistakes in a translation, you will make them. If it is for your highest good, then there's not much you can do about it. If you are meant to get it all right, then that's exactly what will happen. You must remember that everything is always working out for you and that nothing can happen to you. It all happens for you. Your desire to get it right is simply your desire to control the conditions. However, you are in control of only one thing, and that's how you feel. There are forces going on that respond to how you feel. Maintain your high emotional state and have faith that everything is always working out, and do not fear the future. Why would you ever fear a future where everything always works out? Because you believe in the possibility that something might not work out for you because you perceive that it hasn't worked out for others. That is a flaw in your perception of reality. The reality is that everything is always working out for you if you will just let it. With our love, we are Joshua.
So if you're meant to make a mistake, you're going to make that mistake.
Yep.
Just like Kyla did.
Yep.
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 I made a mistake once,
but I was wrong.
you thought that's you were wrong right there.
Yeah, I blew that one. I blew that one.
And you were wrong. Yeah. But you were wrong.
I once thought I was wrong, but I was mistaken.
There you go.
So the saying, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
Well, yeah, it's a path. We're on a path. So
it's not fate, right? It's not fate, it's not luck. You're in control of it. But you're in control because it's what you want, mm-hmm. right?
You just don't know what it looks like.
And you think you want things that you don't really want. And you don't think you want things that you do want. Is that confusing enough to you?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go into this idea of what you think you want. You set intentions prior to your birth. The vast majority of those intentions are to feel good, to be loved, to feel love, to have excitement, expansion, interest, passion, joy, fun, all these wonderful things, right? So if you were to just let those intentions unfold, what could be better than that, right?
Right.
It's when you think, well, I have to do this so I can get that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is poker is a super easy example. Sometimes you lose a big hand and then you have so few chips that you make plays that you wouldn't make before, and those plays catapult you to winning the whole thing. And you're like, if I hadn't lost that hand, which I definitely did not want to lose, I would never have done this and that and that and wouldn't have ended up where I am, which is winning. So you can't always see how it's going to get you there. All you can do is either go with the flow of it or resist it. And it's like really spooky to think that everything that happens is happening for you. That you sort of can't even get out of the way of it, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you think you're making a mistake, well, even if you are resisting, in some respects, that's part of the path too.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't have to so much. Right. So I think what we can sum this all up for on this episode of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable is that we really don't know how it works.
We're all just making all this up.
We don't have the answers, right? So if you're looking up to us for the answers, well, you have to go on this ride with us because we're trying to figure it out too.
Well, that's the thing. I think that we all have our own versions of answers. Like, we're all figuring out our own answers for ourselves, and we're all giving answers to each other too. But like, I think that what I'm learning to do is like see everybody else and watch what their answers are, even hear what their answers for me are, and then just use all of that to figure out my own answers for me and then put out my answers. But in terms of this has been me and my experience, you can, you know, try it or not, but this is how it's working for me.
Well, I like to say that I'm being more non-resistant these days.
Yeah.
But I still feel the resistance super strong.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a classic example of that last week. I thought I was being very non-resistant, which compared to old Wendy, I was. However, I was not being completely non-resistant to where I am today. And now I felt that wobble I'm catching up. Like my body's got to catch up to that because it didn't resonate with my authentic self. It was, it was pushing against my authentic self.
Okay. So here's the problem then, or not the problem, but where we are is that we know better. You know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If we didn't know better,
exactly.
Then we could say that our actions are appropriate, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Like getting frustrated with the AC guy who's not showing up. Yeah. And I was so less frustrated or controlling than I would be. And I could see how Rob was like, you got to take action. You got to call him five times a day. You got to make sure. You got to go pick up these parts for him. You got to, you know. And so I could see from his perspective how that's the old approach I would have been on. But it just made me miserable when I did that. So what had happened was I'm expecting this guy to do it. And he had assured me he would do it on Thursday. So we're here on Thursday now. And this is my guy I know very well and has done a lot of work for me in the past. And he just got stuck in his job and couldn't do it. So previously I had texted everyone I know who's your AC guy. And my contractor friend I know very well sent me a guy. And I just called him. And he came over in half an hour and fixed it while we were here. So the thing was, it's like super easy. That could have happened on Sunday, right?
I could have called him. Or as soon as I got it, maybe that was Monday. Yeah. But I was like really relaxed about it until I wasn't relaxed anymore. And I had a little bit of agita. And then I noticed the agita and I was like, I know better than this. Everything's going to work out. It's all going to work out. Everything's happening for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I happened to call him when he was, you know, between two jobs and right in the area, and came over with this guy and they did the whole thing. And the guy before, my guy, couldn't figure it out. He was like stumped by the problem. And these guys knew what it was right away.
Were you inspired at all to call that guy first before your normal guy?
No, or... I didn't even know about him. Yeah.
Interesting.
I was inspired to text people. Mm-hmm. And then I got a whole bunch of responses back. And I actually called one of the guys, not this guy that came over, while my guy was beeping in. So I got off the phone with this other company. My guy beeped in. And then he came over right away and looked at it and was like, looked like a mess because our handyman messed it up. And then, you know, thought he was going to do it. And then when I realized on Thursday he couldn't do it, I called that first company. I said, do you do emergency services? And she didn't, the receptionist didn't know what that was. You know, well, I can schedule you between, you know, 8 hours. Well, it's 190 degrees in our house. No one's going to stay here.
Right.
So then I just hung up with her and called this other guy. He's like, yeah, I'll meet you there at 11:30. Boom, it was all done.
Because it's interesting. It just, okay, it's just a broken air conditioner. But if you take it to, you know, mirror your life, that's what I'm trying to do with these situations that pop up.
Yeah.
And, oh, it's just a broken air conditioner. But it's obviously, it's some type of a mirror of my life. So what is in this for me? So what do you think you got out of that? What was for you?
So I got to be with Rob and Dee in this open-ended salvation, right? I got to rely on people that I needed. You know, I'm always, because my parents split up and I was on my own, literally on my own from age of 12. My dad's working and dating. So we were home alone at night most of the nights. And we were home alone every day during the work, you know. And maybe we saw him on the weekends and did stuff. It wasn't like bad or anything. We were just, you know, I was self-sufficient. And I never relied on anyone, nobody. Like even being married or dating, I'm always paying for everything and in control of everything. I've always owned my own companies. I've never had a job. Yeah. So I don't rely on people for a paycheck, that sort of thing. So I'm very self-sufficient. And here I am having to rely on somebody else and their generosity and having to, you know, I would have normally in the past probably have gotten a hotel after a day or two of this. But, you know, but I had to fight that urge to do that and just relax and just, hey, I'm going to be here as long as I'm going to be here. And also, Lily was having, Rocky was sick during that whole time. So Lily's like frantically concerned with the dog the entire time. And we left Rocky alone with them. I can't remember why. And Rocky somehow got into their bathroom. They have this big bathroom. They have two vanities on opposite ends of this bathroom. They each have a little rug in front of it. And he laid a little tiny poop on each one of their rugs. Like, how is that even possible, right? And I just blamed it on their 100-pound dog. I said, no, that was your dog. That wasn't our dog.
That was your dog.
So this whole thing was going on. I'm like, oh, my God, you know, how long can this last? What's friendship all about? How can I, you know, be allowed to take care of? How can I appreciate all these things? So it was fun.
I think that's exciting for you, Gary, because that's a big deal. You're right. I mean, you like to be in charge and have the control. And yet here's a nice, easy, soft way for you to explore that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And that was something that was on Astrid's, one of her writings was that you're here for these experiences, right? But the experiences don't define you. So you could just have this experience of it. And you don't have to try and control the experience of it. Just have the experience of it. And as long as you don't label yourself as that person who has that experience, as long as you don't define yourself by it, then why not have it, you know, and just feel it and just feel what that's like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then they took that to a step further. That it's just feelings. The feelings don't define you either. Right. I mean, it's just a feeling, which that's a big thought for me.
Yeah. And you came here to experience feelings.
Yeah.
You can't experience a non-physical.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't experience the feeling of dependency in non-physical.
Right.
And here you can. I mean, you do when you're a baby. Babies aren't concerned about it.
Oh, no. No. Huh. Well, good stuff.
This is very good stuff. The best ever.
We should do a podcast.
We should do this every week. Can you imagine how much help we're oh giving others? Yeah.
Yes.
I thought you didn't want to help people, Wendy. You're helping. You can't even help yourself from helping.
No. I know. Let that go.
Well, Lily and I are taking off to Paris next Friday.
Oh, that's right.
Wow.
So we will not be doing this podcast next Saturday.
Okay.
Probably not. You guys can if you want. That would be fun. Why not?
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
I'll send you a question, a couple questions. You pick the questions you want, and then you guys and Mark can do it. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
And I will be eating croissants.
Ah. Yes, you will.
Yes. Oh, I'm so
blessed. And pain. I'll be eating pain. Pan is a pan. Why is there an I in it then? It's spelled like pain. Pan.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh my gosh, the bread is so good, Gary.
It's like those French people have a different word for everything.
Yeah.
Except entourage. That's the same.
Anything else? Come back.
We're coming back July 28th, so it'll be two weeks.
It's my birthday! Yay!
That's why we're coming back.
Thank you, Jerry.
I'm going to Puerto Vallarta for my birthday in a couple weeks.
You are? How fun. Yeah. That is a great
my friend
town.
Is taking me. Awesome. She's very abundant. Urban, so, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Good.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yep.
And then my nephew comes in town from England. He's English. And my brother and I are going to take him to Key West for a few days. Oh. That'll be fun.
Nice.
Yeah. And then there's the Joshua Land Cruise.
Yeah.
In September.
Yay.
Yep.
Yay.
And then what are we going to do after that?
That we're doing a
Christmas at my place?
March, a March cruise or something.
We'll do a March cruise. We got to do something between then. Like, I don't want to be around.
A holiday. Something holiday-ish.
Yeah, Christmas at my place.
There we go.
It snows there.
I'll have Astrid come early and clean.
How about we do Christmas in California?
Yay!
Nice and sunny. Yep. Or Florida, too. Florida's good. All right. This has been the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I've been your host, Gary Temple Bodley. We haven't made one mistake on this entire podcast. Did you notice that?
Never make a mistake.
All right. So I'd like to wish all of you a wonderful week. And you guys have a great time next Saturday. And we'll see you on Joshua Live on Monday.
Yay.
And with that, we're complete.
All right.
Yeah, we are.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.